coming of Christ. The baby did not have the knowledge. They did not have the revelation. They did not have the understanding of the new covenant. It took the blood of Christ. It took his death. It took the legal work to take place. The law, the old covenant,
conditional, because there was something also that Adam was to do.
condition of the covenant is given. And of course, we know that Adam broke it, and he suffered the consequence, and the consequences has fallen upon his whole and full posterity. Then, if you'll notice, then the next that we have recorded in the scriptures, in this from this standpoint of covenant, it is found just a few pages over in Genesis chapter 9. And starting in verse 11, and this is what God is telling to Noah after the flood has taken place, and after Noah has come out of the ark. And God says this in Genesis 9, and starting verse 11, "And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all the flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood, neither shall there anymore be a flood to destroy the earth." Notice God says, "I will establish my covenant with you." Now I ask you a question as we go into this. And I want to tell you right up front, this covenant here that God establishes and sets forth, and which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. This is an unconditional covenant. This is not relying upon what man will do or what living creatures will do. God says that there is, in other words, there's never going to be another flood to cover the earth, and that it's going to destroy every living creature and man like this previous flood has just done. So this is a covenant that God makes, and it's unconditional. It's all conditioned on God and God's faithfulness and God's ableness, and God is faithful. And we know now for these thousands of years since that time that it has not taken place. God has set boundaries for the water. They have not covered the earth again, and they never will cover the earth again as they did in that day and time, because God made the covenant and it was unconditional. Now remember, the covenant between God and Adam was conditional, and it was conditional that Adam not eat of that tree. Of this covenant now that God makes here in Noah and with every living creature. And God says, when God puts a bow in the cloud, and says when the cloud comes over and you'll see the bow in it, you'll see the colors of the bow signifying and showing, amen, that God is remembering his covenant that he made to never destroy the earth again with water to wipe man off the face of the earth and every living creature. That it will not take place as it did before. So far we have a conditional covenant, and then now we have an unconditional covenant. This conditional covenant with Adam, we can say, and I believe it's safe to say that it was a covenant of works. Amen. From the standpoint, there was a work for Adam to do, and that work was that he would not eat of that tree. This is entirely with Noah and with every living creature. It is a covenant, a type and a shadow of covenant of grace, which has no stipulations upon the actions or the failures of anyone. It is based see another covenant. We're going to see the covenant that God makes with Abraham here in Genesis chapter 12. And let me tell you right up front that this covenant that God makes with Abraham and the promises of the benefits that God tells Abraham of has no condition upon Abraham. This covenant is an unconditional covenant. This covenant that God makes with Abraham is an unconditional covenant on Abraham's part. Now, every one of these covenants in the Bible, amen, are conditional upon God, that God meets the conditions. Amen. I tell you, I know, you know, especially when people use the tulip, sing of tea for total, if I can remember that, total gravity, the U for unconditional, election, and so forth, that unconditional. Now, the sense of it is that we have to understand from that is that there are in the new covenant or the everlasting covenant of grace, it is not conditioned upon man. There's no conditions for the heirs. There's no conditions for the beneficiaries of the covenant to meet. But there are conditions that God placed upon himself. And we can read in those conditions through the scriptures. Amen. That God placed upon himself. Amen. I tell you, the greatest weight of it fell. Amen. And centered around the giving of the Son of God, the Word made flesh, and Jesus coming to this earth and giving his life, laying his life down, bleeding, suffering, dying upon it, the tree of the cross. That is the greatest weight and condition of that everlasting covenant of grace, which is the new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied of and that the Apostle Paul refers to there in Hebrews chapter 8 that we read and went over last Sunday. So I'm not going to go in here with Abraham because of the sake of time, but just to tell you, you can read this, but to tell you that what God is speaking of here, it is a type and shadow, amen, of the elect family of God and of all of God's elect, and that this is an unconditional covenant that God enters into with Abraham and concerning blessing his seed, and Abraham being through him shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so we can understand from that standpoint. Also in Deuteronomy, if you would notice in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the land of Canaan is given to the children of Israel conditional. It is a conditional covenant. It is a timely covenant. It is, I believe, the old covenant. And that he speaks of there in Hebrews chapter 8 and about it passing, concerning it passing away there in Hebrews. In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth Son, that he will give unto his Son. This is to me the first provision of the covenant that God is establishing and setting forth, that who this covenant embraces and who this covenant is for. And it is for, amen, the elect of God, those that the Father, amen, would give unto his Son for an inheritance. Just like he said, this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many. I've said a lot of times, if that was universal, that would have been the place to put it in the Bible right there. Amen. He didn't say that it was shed for everyone without exception. He says that it was shed for many. We come and draw the only logical and successful conclusion from that is that all that Jesus died for will live with God in glory, will be saved in heaven and immortal glory without the loss of one. Amen. So therefore, we believe in a special atonement, a particular atonement. Amen. An atonement. Amen. For those that God provided in this first provision of the covenant. Now, let's nail that down just a little bit further. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, also some very familiar verses of Scripture. Here the old prophet is prophesying, and He says here at the end of verse 11, for he shall bear their iniquities. He shall bear their iniquities. This is why the iniquities are forgiven and remembered no more, because Jesus bore them and Jesus satisfied the divine justice of his Father. He satisfied that. Now in verse 12, notice this expression. Therefore, based upon this, therefore, based on what we just read, based And so, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same. This is speaking of the humanity. This is speaking of Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. You know, Jesus referred to himself a lot of times as the Son of Man. The Son of Man. He is the Son of Man through the seed of the woman. You know, the very first miracle Jesus did at the wedding, the marriage there at Cana, whenever his mother came to him and told the Lord, said, "We're out of wine. They're out of wine." And Jesus says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Now that was not a mischaracterization. That was not a belittle. The word that is translated there for woman, it was not a slander towards her. He was not being ugly to his mother in no form, shape, or fashion. And I say that to tone down that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Let me just say this as a side thought. Whenever she told him, in other words, they're out of wine, "What have I, woman, what have I to do with thee?" You know, she didn't ask the Lord, "Can you take care of this problem? Can you fix this? Can you turn water into wine?" She says, "They're out of wine. We're out of wine." I can't hear exactly the way the scripture words there right there. But nevertheless, you know, in a way it was kind of a psychology. You know, what she was saying was, "I want you to do something." But she wasn't saying that. She wasn't just coming right out and asking him. She was saying, "We're out of wine. They're out of wine." But what she was asking the Lord to do was to fix the problem and to supply some wine. I know Sister Marlene's mother was good about that. My mother's kind of good about that. They don't just come right out and ask you to do something. They tell you something that needs to be done. They tell you, you know, the need. And so what it is, you get the message. You get the message that they are wanting you to do something. But Jesus called himself the Son of Man. He is the Son of Man. He's the tremors and all of these things that Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about. You know, it don't bother me if I have esteem. It don't bother me. I don't care. There's so much of it on my mother's side, so much of it on my father's side, and I witnessed those 5 years with Dad and several other close relatives. And that would be the greatest fear to me personally if that should take place, if that should happen. But you know, if it does, it does. But there'll be an end to it. It'll come to a conclusion. Thank God. I'm glad that all of these things temporal will have an end. All of these things temporal, they will have an ending. But what's not going to have an ending is our soul and spirit. Amen. It's going to be with the Lord. That's what's important. So therefore we can face tomorrow. We can face the circumstances. We can face situations. Sometimes we may face it better than at other times. Sometimes it may be overwhelming. It may seem like it's consuming us. But God knows.